Replay, reflect, believe. More of God's Word for walking in faith every day of the week.
We pray that you are inspired to read the scripture further and to continue attending your local church. When in Philadelphia, you're welcome to join us for worship at Open Door Baptist Church, 1632 North 26th Street, zip code 19121, Sundays at 11 a.m. Now it's time to enjoy today's message.
Come on, won't you pray with me? Father, we are so glad today that you have kept us, that you have brought us to this point where we can be before you once again, where we can gather in the congregation and testify of your name, where we can give you praise and glory that you are due. Father, we thank you on this Sunday morning. We thank you for your new mercies. We thank you for your long-standing grace. Yeah. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. Yes. Lord, this morning you have given us hope, the hope of glory, and we seek you in your word. Yes. Be with us, O Lord. Do as you have intended to do. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. Listen, this morning our text will be taken primarily from Romans, the 8th chapter. I'm going to be there and I'll read from the 23rd to the 25th verses. And we'll also take a little peek into Psalm 37. There we'll just dive into verse 4. This is the book from the Apostle Paul coming in Romans, the 8th chapter. Again, I'll read now for you the 23rd to the 25th verse. It says here, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Psalm 37, the 4th verse says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know, we might have one or two mics that are on down here that might be adding to the feedback, but as we're here and we're in this Advent season, Advent just meaning these 25 days that are leading up to Christmas 2025. And traditionally on the first week of Advent, we would preach from a theme related to hope. Amen. And so today on this morning, I'm coming from this subject, looking at what we find in Romans chapter 8 and finding a response to hope. Amen. Good, good. I think we'll be all right. And I'll just speak a little louder if we need it. I tell you, we just talked about it a little bit, and it's been announced, and it's on. We've got flyers. It's on the website. Forgot to tell you that, Pastor Marcy, we've got a Miracle on 26th Street up on the website. We've got some edits going. And we look at this season as it's coming up. And I tell you, during this time, we're always filled with an abundance of hope. Amen. Advent season, 30 days, 25 days before Christmas, you can always, if no other time of the year, you're going to find some hope. Children will arrive with smiles and anticipation of what toys they might receive. They're hopeful for fun and good times. And then from the other side, we'll be here and we'll be hope that the service we provide, our works of love and generosity, might point a family towards the gospel message of Jesus Christ during this Christmas season. That's our hope. We even find that in our own families, when we get to our own house, over the next 25 days, it'll be full of hope for all of our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews. They're wondering right now if you were able to get that Black Friday special, if you made it to the store, did you get there in time or did you find it online? They're hopeful that somebody, whether it's mom, whether it's dad, they get that special item. They even have some confidence that maybe auntie or papa will come through and make it a big holiday for them. Children always appear to be the most hopeful, even when they don't get everything that they were hoping for, right? Children always tend to be more hopeful than the adults that are around them. Adults, we done gone through the thing for a while and life comes at us and the pressures of life, they're real. The pressures are coming at us, and so sometimes that's pushing on our hope. And some of us, the reality is we weren't too hopeful about Black Friday 2025 because we were still working on bills like rent 2025, groceries 2025, electric bill 2025. We just weren't ready for Black Friday when it came just a few days ago. And it's been like that over the years of life, that sometimes the weight, the burdens that may come our way, they have an effect on the hope that we then express. The burdens that we carry, they have a direct correlation to the amount of hope that we sometimes hold. I'm just talking about adults that maybe have had some experience in life. And I just want you to know, if you can get to Romans chapter 8 and this passage, let me tell you, the way this language that Paul uses and twists around, it's sometimes a little tough to get. You got to go a couple of versions. You, if you start in King James, make sure you jump over to NIV, get you the ESV, get you a few, get the Message Bible, because Paul uses different language, but his message is important for us to understand. I'm telling you, Paul is sitting right down at our kitchen table today, here in the 18th verse, and your Bible might have this title before it. It says, "From suffering to glory." And it says in this 18th verse, just getting started, he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, since Paul's talking about our suffering, on one side that has a negative connotation, but what Paul is really trying to do is to encourage us. He's letting us know that the sufferings of this present time, the season that we're in right now, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He's sitting here at our kitchen table and he's letting us know right away that what has been prepared for us, it cannot be experienced on this side of heaven. Paul speaks to our anxieties, our disappointments, our heavy responsibilities. And while Paul may know that there's hope and there's relief, he's letting us know that the glory to be revealed is much more than us just letting go of these burdens. He's letting us know it's not just, hey, you get to heaven and you just don't have to deal with this anymore. He said it's much more than that. He's letting us know, and he's shifting our perspective. He doesn't want us to look at heaven as just some type of vacation. Amen. All right? Heaven is not some white sand beach with blue water in the Caribbean. Paul is telling us like this, there's no comparison. There's no relief on this side of heaven. There's no vacation island on earth that compares to the glory that will be revealed in you and I when we get to heaven. Paul is saying that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. He's saying that these troubles, he calls them sufferings. He says, he's telling us that they're not even in the same category. He's not saying that when we have complaints that that's not valid. He's not saying that our pain's not real. He's agreeing with us in our human frame. And he's speaking to us and letting you know that it will not be a one-for-one comparison. The glory that will be revealed in you is far more than the burdens that you carry in this life. You'll receive so much more than what you can think or even ask. Believers, this is hope for us. This is Paul speaking directly to the reason that you and I have responded to the gospel message. This is the power that is in our testimony, not that we have reached our final destination, but rather that because of Jesus Christ, we now have access. We now have a ticket to obtain the glory that will be revealed in time to come. I'm telling you, you've got a ticket today. If you're a believer, if you've confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a ticket. And what I'm telling you is that as long as you have a ticket, you have hope. Lots of people are traveling during these holidays. Lots of flights are getting canceled. Lots of roadways are getting diverted because of construction and accidents. Lots of train routes are out of commission because of maintenance. It's tough traveling on the earth right now, but even if you're at the airport and you have a ticket, you have hope. Paul is saying the route that we travel, this life that we're in now, is just part of the process, but we have hope in our hearts because we have access to the final destination. Paul goes on from there. We just got through verse 18. Let's get to 19. He tells us in 19, pointing us in the direction of hope, letting us know that we're not alone. Verse 19 says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." I told you up front, Paul uses some language. You got to take some time. You got to slow down. You got to read a different version. But what he's summarizing to say, Paul wants us to know that the entire creation, the sun, the stars, the ocean, everything that God created is hoping and waiting for the day that the glory is revealed in you and I. Because of the corruption of humankind, because of the sin that we committed that separated us from the purpose that God intended for us, all of creation, everything else that God made, is held back in its purpose, and it's hoping for the day when we are fully delivered from the corruption which is our flesh. Everything else is waiting on you and I. Glory to God. He's trying to make sure that we understand the comparison, that it does not compare. The glory that will come in that day does not compare to anything that we can see now. I read this from Michael Eaton. He said it like this. He said, "Creation is part of the human race. When the human race was perfect, creation was perfect. When the human race fell, creation fell. When the human race was redeemed, creation was redeemed. And when God's people are perfectly restored, creation will be restored. It's waiting on us. The day of the resurrection for the human race and the day of the glorification for God's people will also be a day for the glorification of the universe. We do not share in its glory. It shares our glory. Glory to his name. What he's saying is like this. God made a house and put us in it. We were not to stand outside the house and glorify the house, but the house was for us and it shares in our glory. Amen. By itself, your house is nothing. By itself, your home is nothing. But when you walk in the door, your home takes on its purpose through your glory. That mountain that you drove by, the sunshine that you saw go down last night and then rise again that this morning, all of creation is hoping for the day when we are fully redeemed. This is the glory that will be revealed. Glory to his name. Paul didn't even get to our subject today yet. He's working his way there in verse 22. In the text, he says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting the adoption, the redemption of our body. Paul's saying, so one, creation is waiting for us, longing and groaning. But we also know inside of us is something that we sometimes can't explain that is also longing and groaning for when this body will be redeemed. He's making sure that we remember the move of God is still taking place inside of us, even when we're in our season of suffering. Paul is reminding us that while we struggle, we are not like others who have no hope. Even on our worst days, there is the hope of glory working in us. Even when we make mistakes, even on days when we don't represent Jesus as we should, even on days when our actions don't line up with our beliefs, even on those days, there is a longing inside of us for the day when our desires will line up with the word of God and we will walk with him in holiness and right standing. Paul is saying that just like the rest of creation, we're waiting. I'm saying to you, we're waiting for something that we'll never be able to get no matter how good that sale is on Black Friday. We can't get it in this earth. And so Paul has worked. He's worked from verse 18 down to verse 24, all to give us some instructions on a response to hope. Paul starts to get specific about a believer's hope, and it reads in verse 24, for we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? I told you we won't find it in this earth. Verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly, say eagerly, eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Paul begins to shift. He wants to change our perspective on hope, and hope is not simply something that's inside of us to acknowledge the future glory, but he wants us to know that is something that we hold, which demands a response. The hope of glory in you demands a response. This is an active response to the faith that we proclaim. So if you're taking notes this morning, you might write down these three things: work, wait, and pray. Paul is changing our perspective. He's trying to teach us how to respond to hope. And he finds it in three areas: work, wait, and pray. I'm going to tell you now, if you're ever going to survive your discipleship, if you're ever going to walk this path of hope following Jesus, then you're going to find yourself moving back and forth between these different responses, these three responses of work, wait, and pray. Paul started out at verse 18 talking about the human condition, and so much of what we hope for, it was even talked about today, Deacon Dutton, we hope for good health. We hope for food on the table. We hope for loving relationships in our home and for a neighborhood where our children are safe and cared for. In our human condition, we hope for these things. We may even sometimes get more specific. We're hoping for a specific job. We're hoping for a specific car to drive. There might be a specific piece of jewelry that we're hoping is under the tree at Christmas. We can get specific about what we hope for. And we put much effort into what we will hope for in this life, the things that we can see and obtain. But Paul is now pointing us to the hope of glory, a hope that cannot compare to anything that we will see in the earth. He already told us and explained how all of creation, everything else, the sea and the stars, they're eagerly waiting, eagerly hoping for the time when you and I would be fully redeemed. And so here we are, doing our best, trying to match up with what we hope for in the world and what we hope for in our spirit, trying to do our best just to make sure we're here on a Sunday morning, trying to make sure we can remember the dial-in code for Wednesday night prayer, trying to remember some of the scriptures we've learned, and at the same time, we've got to remember that we're supposed to pick up something from the grocery store for dinner. All of these things, we're going back and forth, but in this eighth chapter to the Romans, Paul says, in all of this, don't lose hope. Don't lose the fact that you must respond in work, waiting, and praying. They're not always in the same order. But let me ask you this question, just talking about the response of work. Are you working as hard towards the hope of glory as you are at your job or in your home? Listen, the Eagles season may be a little up and down, but I'll tell you one thing. Jalen Hurts tells us like this. He says, rent is due every day. That's one of his quotes. And so for the hope of glory, I'm saying, are you willing to work towards it every day? Will you read your word every day? Will you maybe do some work and witness to someone else about Jesus Christ every day? If rent is due every day, will you do it? Will you be a good steward of what God has blessed you with every day? Will you try to use to the best you can the spiritual gifts that He's placed in you every day? That's one of the ways we respond in work to the hope of glory. Paul goes further in the second response, and he says our second response to this hope is to wait. See, when he says eagerly wait, the eagerly is the part that points to the work. Amen. When you're not eagerly waiting, you're just what? You're sitting. You're just passing time. But when you're eagerly waiting, you're working. So that's what eagerly is. But when he talks about a response and hope where we wait because we're confident. We remember that Jesus already gave us a ticket. We have confidence that we're in the number. We have confidence and we have the hope that we can wait and we will receive the promise. And so what I'm saying, what our response to is when we wait is we wait in confidence and without compromise. Glory to his name. See, when we wait in confidence, when we wait that way, we're not trying to take matters into our own hands. We're doing the best we can, but when we're waiting with hope and confidence in God's word, we can wait without compromise to what it says. When we're waiting with hope, that means we're praising and not complaining. When we're waiting, our response is to be praising God in all circumstances, not complaining until the day of glory. The other thing that we find in waiting also means that we're present and not absent. Amen. When we respond in waiting with the hope of glory that Paul is teaching us, that means that we show up where we expect God to be. When we're waiting with confidence, we know that God is working on any given Sunday. God is working anytime that you'll give him a chance. If we can just press into his presence, if we can get to the place where the Lord is, if we can simply touch the hem of his garment, waiting means that we're present in the sight of God. Glory to his name. We're eagerly waiting. We're working and we're waiting without complaining. We're praising God in all situations. And finally, Paul is indicating that our other response to hope is found in our prayers. Yes. Verse 26 says it like this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So what Paul is pointing us to and positioning us is that we pray because we need strength to work and we need patience to wait. Amen. We can't try to do that on our own. We need to usher in the Holy Spirit. And so we pray to bear our weakness until the day of glory comes. Amen. Not trying to live through life without praying is trying to live through life without eating. It's trying to go through a whole day without breathing. Glory to his name. Prayer engages the Holy Spirit to communicate what we don't have words for, and for us to receive what God manifests in our life. Now, listen, we touched in Psalm 37 and 4. It's probably one of our favorite verses in the whole Bible. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Glory to his name. That's one we might want to memorize, right? Woo! Glory to his name. But what I'm trying to tell you today is that when we know about the hope of glory, we know not only shall he give us the desires of our heart, but through the Holy Spirit, he will lead us in what we should desire. Are you getting that? You know, when we respond to the hope of glory with prayer, the Holy Spirit continues to work on this body. The Holy Spirit begins to work on this flesh. And so that we're less consumed with the desires that we had in the world. And we begin in this new season as believers to want and desire and hope for the spiritual things of God. The Holy Spirit, we may not know how to say it, but the Holy Spirit just works it out. Amen. Speaks it on our behalf when we pray, when we go to Him in prayer. We've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So we're saved. We're a king's kid. I told you that last week. And as a believer, you are redeemed of your guilt. Amen. Jesus has paid your penalty, and in that you have hope. You have your ticket to eternity with Father God. And what we're saying today from the Apostle Paul is that when you work, wait, and pray in the way that he teaches us to respond, you now begin to see glimpses of what we will experience in the promised destination. So earlier, what I'm letting you know, I told you, what we see now will never compare. I mean, I don't know if you ever got somewhere and all you saw before were the pictures. Maybe somebody told you about it. You got there and it was completely different, far more than what you were thinking. You just came back. You were so blessed by what you found when you got there. But everything you learned before, nothing compared to when you actually got there. That's what Paul was teaching us at the beginning. But now he's also telling us why. He said earlier, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. This is our hope. Not only will we be redeemed from the guilt of sin, but in the day to come, we will be redeemed in our new bodies from the presence of sin. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you today? What I'm saying is that in our new body, we will no longer even know what sin is anymore. We will no longer hunger for the ways of the world. It won't just be that we're not doing the things that we used to do, but we will no longer have that hunger in us. Glory to his name. In this day of redemption, our bodies will be anew, transformed into what we can live in for the eternity in the presence of Father God. That's why he's telling us we need to allow the Lord to direct us in the desires of our heart, to lead us in what to desire, because when we get to that point, we will no longer have to hide ourselves from God, but just run into his presence. Glorify him the way he's taught us to glorify him. We won't have anything hindering us or holding us back. We won't be thinking about the things we gotta do after service. We won't be thinking about the big meeting we've got on Wednesday. We won't be thinking about the court appearance that we've got on Friday. All of those things will be gone. Glory to his name, but we'll be in the presence of the Lord, fully redeemed, receiving our final destination. This is the hope of glory that Paul is pointing us to this morning. Glory to his name. I encourage you. I told you at the beginning, you got to read this. Paul speaks it in so many different languages. I encourage you to go back and read that in a different version. Read the Message version if you can get it. Get it on your Bible app. get it online, something, if you don't have a Message Bible in your house. But read this one more time and see the hope of glory that Paul is positioning us to on this morning. Amen? Amen. Glory to his name. The doors of the church are open. A ticket with no charge. This is what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has offered to us today. Jesus has offered to take on the penalty for all of our wrongdoings, everything that we may have said or done or even thought that was not in right standing with God, in the name of Jesus. It is available to us now that we can receive the free gift of salvation. We can say, Lord, I want that ticket. I want to go and be with you for an eternity all the more. I'm giving up holding the reins. I'm giving up trying to do it on my own. And today, Lord, I turn my will over to you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, will you come today? Will you receive the free gift that he's offering now? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.
Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to say hello to your pastor for us. And if you're looking for a church fellowship in Philadelphia, we'd love to see you this Sunday at 11 a.m. Open Door Baptist Church, 1632 North 26th Street, zip code 19121.
More information is online at opendoorbaptistphilly.com and Instagram at opendoorbaptistphilly. Until next week, stay encouraged and always remember, God loves you.